Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that is able to save our souls. Right now, we commit this time to you, God, to bless our minds, to understand your word, walk therein, and be changed thereby into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, have mercy on our souls. Forgive us of all transgressions, God, and expunge our records of everything that is against you, that we might have fellowship with you by the Holy Spirit. God, it's time for a new church order, a new kind of a person that's not bound to actually represent you, God, in the marketplace and around this world, a free-flowing spirit that has the Holy Ghost flowing through them to reach other folks. This thing is left up to the Holy Ghost now, God. There's nothing we can do about it. The minds of people have become too radical and too reprobate for us to try to intervene on the natural plane. It's going to take God now to do this thing all by himself. And God, right now, we dedicate ourselves to you. We consecrate the body of Christ into your hands, ask you to fill every member with the Holy Ghost for a demonstration of power that they can actually do something about this invasion that has taken over the human race. Young kids now become strange. Radical people everywhere, argumentative, always contrary. Out there in road rage trying to kill people with a car. It's just a crazy, warped, weird environment. And only you, God, can interdict, because the devil has come down with his hordes of fallen angels and demons. And it's plain to see that these people are not normal. There's something wrong with the mind. So we got to have supernatural power, supernatural intervention, supernatural essence to come into this world to destroy this thing off of people's minds and set captives free. People have been enthralled by perversion. They long for things that are just unclean. Is something wrong with people? God, have mercy on the collective souls of the human race. Use us to war against the enemy to help set their minds free. Save them. Have mercy on them. We see the insanity setting in. And only you, God, can interdict this thing. Only you can give a person the ability to even understand this. Minds are so bad off that they can't even comprehend and understand what you're telling them. It's going to take a supernatural God to make this thing plain. It's not English or Spanish or French that can do it now. It's not any language we know. It's Holy Ghost. You've got to speak Holy Ghost to folk now to save them, because there's no vocabulary and no ability to speak that can change a person with human effort. God, let the Holy Ghost of God have preeminence in the church. Save people. Use us to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're talking about the gift of God. The gift of God. The gift of God. God has given gifts to men. He's given gifts to the human race. And God has just given it to us now. Not that we earned it. Not that we are worthy of it. God, from his own sovereign righteousness, has given gifts to men. But no matter how much somebody wants to give you a gift, if you won't receive it, then it's going to be a fruitless effort. He has given the gift, but you have to do what? Accept and receive the gift. I'm giving you a gift, but you won't receive it. That's bad. When he's made salvation available to the whole human race, and large portions of the human race won't receive it. They walk around spitting in his face on a daily basis because they don't see the gift of God as valuable. It's not precious. It's not something desirable. Flesh and the carnal fallen nature of man sees value in that which only enhances me. It makes me feel good. It gives me pleasure. It's something for me. So therefore, if I don't see an immediate gratification from the gift of God, I don't want it. I don't see the value of it. It's not getting me a house, a car. It's not getting me a husband or a wife. It's not promoting me. It's not adding to me. I don't see anything of value in the gift for me on the physical plane. See, that's what I'm saying. If I can't see it, smell it, hear it, taste it, or touch it, it has no value. My senses tell me that Jesus Christ has no value to me because I don't see any evidence of Jesus Christ doing anything for me in time and space. When I look at the Kardashians worth $80 million, I want to be the Kardashians. I can see value in that for me. If I can't be the Kardashians, I want to hang around with the Kardashians because I can fly in the Learjets, drive in the limousines, and stay in the $3 million mansion with them because they have value for me. So now they exalt them because the money, see, the devil uses the money as a calling card for you to place value in people and places and things. Because, see, it's valuable because that money can give me pleasure just like the person I'm worshiping. So you see how God's gifts are spiritual. God's gifts are valuable to only the spiritual people. It's the gift of God given to us, but it has no value as long as this world is more important to me than spiritual things and in eternal life. Eternal life has been put on the back burner and replaced by temporal life. So if you're not giving me temporary gratification with your gift, I don't want it. I don't want it. I got to have temporal pleasure and gratification for me, or else your gift is, it has no value. And that's what we're fighting right now. You're offering a person eternal life, heaven, the glory of heaven, the peace that surpasses all understanding, a mind that's not always in turmoil dealing with the problems of this world, some form of sanity returned to you. Instead of being a whore, you'll be washed clean from whoredoms. So you won't be laying up with nasty guys all the time and feeling like a dog walking around, a used, wrung out rag. You'll have some dignity returned. You know, a lot of people don't see dignity as valuable. Your honor will be returned. I don't see my honor as valuable. I want immediate gratification. The sex makes me feel good now, and you're talking about honor and dignity. That's not valuable to me. It seems like the whores are exalted. The stripper and the stilettos on the stage gets immediate $100 bills put in that G-string. She gets immediate gratification. And you're talking about going to college, getting a degree. This whore is pulling down $2,000 a week. With a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, I can only make $50. I can double my money as a naked whore. That's why you got college girls now stripping. And some of them become RNs and they're still stripping. They'll come and graduate from college and the money was so good stripping, well, I'll have a professional degree by day. And I'll live my life as Batman at night. You know, call herself Batwoman on the stripper pole. Come down the pole. You know, Batman came down that pole. She come down that pole with a stripper from the ceiling and come in as Batwoman in a Batwoman suit and strip down butt naked from Batwoman to butt naked. That's my moniker at the strip joint, Batwoman. But she making $150,000 a year, top nine stripper. She got the body. I can leverage this body into some money. $150,000 a year, 5-10 years, invested right, I'm a millionaire. And you think, I'm going to give up the stripping. Guess what? You'll become so addicted to the stripping, you can't even stop now. Because you know, the strippers don't make their money on the poles and on the dance floor. They make their money back at the hotel room as prostitutes. Because the high rollers come through, those NBA guys and the Major League Baseball guys and the NBA guys, and say, hey, baby, $5,000, come on back to the room with me. Well, let me just get my coat. It's cold outside. No resistance. See, your self-esteem can be so impugned that you'll do anything for money. The OJs knew that. OJs told you, for the love of money, you'll do anything. You'll sell your precious body. You'll begin to solicit. See, we're living in a land of solicitation in a world of solicitation. You know, the word solicit means to ask. So people ask through nonverbal communication. We were at the restaurant last night. There was a lot of solicitors in there. Booty shorts, stilettos, breast everywhere. That's a solicitor. You know, the solicitor is a prostitute. You can be a prostitute without saying a word, because you're really just strolling through looking for takers. I'm asking, are there any people who want to receive me? The butt is here and the breast are here and soliciting. But of course, there's a price tag appended to everything now. You got to pay for what you get. No pay, no play. So we got young girls and now older women trained as solicitors, asking for sex. And you know, a woman is now being so cauterized in her heart and soul that she has no more emotions left. She can have sex and she can separate her physical body from her inner man. She can use her body like you use a wrench to turn screws or pliers or something like that. I just use what my mama gave me to get what I want. They tell you on the dance floor to shake your money maker. That was a song back in the day, shake your money maker. You know, the Jackson 5 told you, do re mi it, baby, shake it, baby. That's what it's all about. They've been separated from their physical body so that I just use my body to get what I want. That's what the Kardashians did. That's what Beyonce is doing, Rihanna's doing, Nicki Minaj is doing. If you don't have the physical parts, you go pay for them and buy them and put them in. You know, you put in a behind like you put a transmission in a car, you know. And then it runs you like the transmission runs a car. That's why you got all that motor in you. You got that motor in you behind now. Because you put all this silicone and nitroglycerin and Elmer's glue and cement and concrete and all this stuff. Now they take diapers to pad their blue jean. Put diapers, because the diapers will conform to your body. And they'll make the behind blow up by putting stuff in diapers in their behind. They can't afford the silicone from down in Brazil, because that's $5,000. So just buy yourself some Pampers, stuff it around your jeans, and walk on in the club. I don't know how you go home with the dude with all that now. You know, you joke will pick you up, and you got all them Pampers and stuff on. Just crazy. This is what we really come to. Lips injected, breast injected, behinds injected, everything's fake, and everything's put on display, soliciting. What is it all about? Me, my, and I. I want to be in the limelight. Back in the day, when we got married back in 1987, a 3-inch heel was a high heel. Now that's just like flats. If you got a 3-inch heel, you're wearing flats. But what happens? 6-inch, 7-inch heels. Why do they do that? It came from the strip joint. A stripper stands on a pedestal. The word pedestal comes from your feet. It means your feet lifted up. It's sitting on top of a device to lift you up. Because they want the stripper to be like a statue sitting up above everybody, looking down to the masses, so that she can be worshipped. So that's why. I remember I bought an outfit for my wife one time. I was going to the shoe store to buy the shoes to match the outfit. And I asked the lady about, does she have something to match this particular dress? She said, oh, yeah, I got a sexy pair of shoes right over here. Sexy shoes? That's programmed into people's mind. People got foot fetishes and shoe fetishes whereby they got a closet full of sexy shoes. 6-7-inch heels, because I put them on. I'm 5'3", but in these heels, I'm 5'8". Now I can walk around with this pedestal lifting me up, and I walk through the club or the restaurant worshipped on my pedestal. Now your feet are at a 90-degree angle with the ground, like a ballerina. You walking through, you got your corns and all you're in pain. You know, you're walking, you're crippled now for life now. And by the time you're 50, you're going to be a cripple. But right now, while I'm 23, I'm walking here on my pedestal lifted up. That's what is going on. It's nonsensical craziness. And then they put a platform on the front of the shoe with the cinch's heel. I used to do back in the 70s and 60s, you know, used to have them Superfly shoes where the man had a lift on the front and some heels on the back. You walk around and it's the Mac. Stupid, looking crazy. looking crazy. Your feet up here like this. Your feet really hitting the ground right here. Like, this is a guy now in bell bottoms and a hat turned to the corner, thinking he's the Mac, Superfly, Shaft, walking around. You see, the devil will make you crazy. So now you fast forward to now, and all these young girls and these old women now going to be a fourth grade teacher here in Atlanta. You see the girl on the internet? Now she got all these skin tight clothes. Now she built. Now the girl stacked up. But why are you on Instagram as a fourth grade teacher with all this tight stuff on? You can't do nothing about how your body's built, but you got to learn how to do what? You got to know how to present yourself. What happened to elegance, grace, and all of that? You a college graduate teaching a fourth grade class as a hoochie mama. What you doing? Why are you doing this? That's the psyche of the people now. They don't want to be pretty. They want to be sexy. Because I am here to displace Jesus. I want the worship that is due Jesus. So that's what's dangerous about being a woman. Because, man, you can get out there. And if you get too far out there, you're going to blow some gaskets in your mind. And you're going to be messed up. That's why you got to know that you know the Lord. If I take Emmanuel here, Emmanuel right now can go through the lobby of this hotel. Now, Emmanuel, statuesque girl, she tall, she statuesque, she curvy. She can have 30 or 40 guys yelling at her. Wave it, live stream Emmanuel. Hey, this is Emmanuel. Y'all here on the prayer line, this is Emmanuel right here, y'all. Hey. But she could go down there, if she wanted to be some kind of a fool, she can strut around with all her clothes painted on. Emmanuel hippie. Emmanuel got nice legs. She can do all that stuff. She's been in the world. She know what the game is. But hey, now she got to go to hell. Because she's displacing the worship of Jesus Christ with her physical body, mutating, castrating, and emasculating guys stepping in front of Jesus to be worshipped instead of Jesus. Now, that's why that program in a woman has to be eradicated. Any woman out there seducing and fornicating with guys, you're the most damnable person on this planet, because God is trying to call some men up to be responsible leaders in the church, and your dirty, whorish butt has stepped in the way to destroy the man that God is after. And you're going to pay for what you're doing. Now, you think you want to be fine, you think you want to be all that, but you're going to hell, and the dogs have eaten the body of Jezebel in the streets of Jezreel. We're not here to play with anybody. You're trying to interdict the grace of God. You're trying to interdict the gift of God by standing in the way of the gift. All these yoga pants, all this stuff strutting around everywhere. That's an evil thing going on down here. If God made you pretty, if he gave you a nice figure, manage it. Get control of it. Because it's going to damn your soul. What he gave you will damn you. The gift of God can damn you. Because you get caught up in yourself, that's a dangerous place to be in God's economy. Because you're not going to contend with God and try to displace God with self. We're talking about the gift of God. And remember, the gifts and callings of God are without what? He won't take them back. He can call you to do something in church and damn you because of the call. If you take that gift and calling and try to prostitute it, that very gift will damn you. He won't even tell you you're going to damn you. He'll let you think you're operating the gift. He'll use you to save people and damn you. Because the gift will work. You can lead people to Jesus. They get right and get saved and get sanctified, and he'll damn you after he used you. This is a dangerous arena, man. This is a dangerous arena. You don't want to fool around with God, because you're going to convince yourself, I'm making it. I got by. And you try to go to the priest to confess. And God has already marked you reprobate. He won't even hear your prayers. He can X you out. You don't even know you've been X'd out. He'll let you think, I'm still all right and already damned to hell forever and can't get out of it. You don't want to fool around with this. There's nothing to play with over here. This ain't play church. This is the real thing over here. That's why people draw back from it. Because there is going to be a responsibility appended to everything you hear here. It's not to be played with. It's serious business when you deal with people's souls. The gift of God, Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. People want to hear nice, pristine speeches. This ain't the time for no nice, pristine speeches, Jack. Because the devil's playing for keeps. Everything used to be like in the world. Everything that defines you in the world, you better lose that. You thought you was strutting around and you had it made and you had it going on, as they say. You better lose that going on. Because you're going to be going on to hell if you don't. I'm dead serious about what I'm saying. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Look what he says. Children's children are the crown of old men. So your children's children, your grandchildren, are the crown of an old man. And the glory of children are their what? Are their fathers. See, I think in the NIV it says parents, right? That's a bad translation. The glory of children are their fathers. Why? Because their father gives them identity. Your father gave you your bloodstream. He gave you your identity. You had your father's last name, not your mother's. The glory of the children are their fathers. Now, you get a fatherless bunch of people, and guess what? You have people roaming around as nomads without identity. That's what we got. Either no father, or your father was absent while at the home. He might have been living there physically, but there was no interaction with him. He was like a dead man. He had no interaction, no say-so, no nothing. You need identity that comes from your father. So what does the devil do? He incapacitates the men, enabling them to be renegades that are running away from fatherhood. He's cut them off from being fathers. That's what's wrong with this generation. That's why they go to school and act up. That's why they're in the back of police cruisers. That's why the gavel is going down on them, saying 25 years to life. That's why they're walking around with their pants pulled down to their knees. That's why they're covered in tattoos and got all these nap knots draped down the back of their heads. This is why they listen to Lil Wayne, because he's the same thing as they are, a fatherless renegade. You see, the appetite for the renegade music is birthed in them by fatherlessness. They have no fathers, and so now Jay-Z is their daddy. Raised by a hardcore lesbian mother, Jay-Z is the prototype of a daddy. You notice how all these guys talk. Listen to Drake talk. He talks just like a little girl. Big old guy with a beard standing up 6'2". I'd like to thank Rihanna. I've been in love with Rihanna since I was 22 years old. And I just worship the ground Rihanna walks on. Thank you. You thinking, come on, man. For real? All these guys talk like little girls, girly guys, rapping, thugs, hardcore, going hard, and got no guts whatsoever. That's what we're living in. I bring it up, people don't like it because they identify with the fatherless people who have no identity. Did you not know that even a woman walks in masculine identity? When you're really a woman, the inside of you will naturally complement a man. Because you're a woman, you're the reflection of the man. And your daddy taught you how to be a woman. So you have a natural inclination to shine light on a man. That's what a woman does. That's what the glory of a man is, a woman. She shines a spotlight on men. Your dress in the atmosphere of the church should spotlight the men. We're demure. We're fashion conscious. We're well-groomed. We come into the environment and we're stylish. We come in with sobriety. We're modest. That's shining light on the men. You find a church full of whores, I can tell you all about the guys in that church. They're whoremongers. Because the women become what the men want. Look at the streets. You got all these whorish looking women in yoga pants because they instinctively know that's what these little sissy roles want. They're full of lust. All they're glorying is the physical form. So I got to do anything they want me to do for them to want me. You don't want to base your value on what another person wants. Because they're going to always degrade you for their own appetites. They don't care about you. There is no love in the world. There is no love in a sodomite colony. People in a sodomite colony love one person, self. That's why you got to get out of there fast, man. Because you're going to waste the best years of your life trying to please a sodomite guy that doesn't even like women. I don't even like women. So no matter what you do, you can strip down bare butt naked. You don't affect me because I don't like women. I like self, and after a while, I'll be attracted to and join up with that which is like self, which is another man. They prefer their dogs they run with, their partners, their posse, the dog pound, the cash money crew, the G unit, Rock Nation. See how the guys hang together? And they call all the women female dogs and hoes. Listen to the music. Female dogs and hoes. That's what they call them on the songs. Give the dog a bone, talking about giving her an erect penis in her mouth. That's what they sing about. And then Nicki Minaj glorifies it by singing about doing this stuff to men. Giving them brain, which is oral sex. I just gave him some brain in the front seat of his car. And the young girls ingesting this filth. And then they go do it in middle school and elementary school because Nicki Minaj sang it into their souls. I'm here to interdict it. I'm here to reveal it. The Bible says it's a shame to even mention those things that are done in darkness. But if you bring light to it, you become expository. You reveal it and open it up to the masses to let them see what's really behind it, which is a satanic, demonic force sent to destroy your kid and turn your kid into a transgendered freak. And I'm here to interdict it. And folks tell me I'm too graphic. I'm too in your face. You need to get some guts, fella. You need to get some gonads because you got no guts. I'm not going to stand here and watch this thing just rape these kids into hell by the millions and say nothing about it and act like it doesn't exist. We can't escape what's in front of us. Man, this thing is an invasion spawned in hell, and somebody got to stand against it. Excuse me. It's ugly. It's not nice. It's not pristine. It's not sanitized. It's a dirty, low-down deal. That's the hand we've been dealt. I didn't make the bicycle playing cards. I was just dealt a hand. So I got to play the hand I've been dealt. I didn't ask to be born now, but I am. So I got to deal with it. Stop trying to make it what it's not. It's a dirty, filthy, rotten, degraded, debased arena we're in, and we got to call a spade a spade. Stop fooling around with it, trying to pretend it's not what it is. It's dirty. It's filthy. And that's what we're in. Now you need power from God to make it through this mess without being affected and infected by it. So he says, the glory of the children are their fathers. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. In other words, if you're using excellent oratory and information and knowledge, a fool can't receive it. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. They want to hear tuning up and squalling and all that old stupid mess. That's preaching for a fool. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. Much less do lying lips a prince. So he says, excellent speech is not germane to a fool, and so a prince shouldn't have lying lips. A prince should tell the truth. That's what we're in now. Fools in church seeking after entertainment and foolishness. Only those that are princes princes and princesses, they want the truth. See, lying lips don't become a prince. If you're seeking royalty and you want to be exalted in God's kingdom, you will have a natural affinity for truth. I want to hear the truth. No matter how bad it hurts me, no matter how it makes me feel, no matter what it takes me through, tell me the truth at all costs. That's what I got to have, man, because I don't need somebody lying to me now because we're too close to the end. This is a truth-seeking church. We desire truth at all costs. Jesus Christ is the truth. And you can't lie and make it in. And you can't listen to lies and make it in. We're talking about the gift of God. The gift of God is to give you the truth. That's one gift. He gives you the truth as a gift. If you can ingest, digest, and have the truth distributed through you to change you, that's supernatural. Because most people recoil from the truth. They tell you, I want to know the truth. You tell them the butt naked, unadulterated truth. I didn't expect you to say all that now. Now you're meddling in my business. They didn't want the truth. They were just kidding themselves. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're talking about the gift of God. Ecclesiastes is the next book over from Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Look at verse 13. He says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that man should fear before him. That which has been is now, and that which is to be, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requires that which is past. So you see now, what is now has been, and what is going to be. There is nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. We live in a cyclical world that just goes through the same cycles over and over again. All the stuff you see now in our world happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Happened in Noah's day. It's just cycling back around again. It was ancient Rome, the Greco-Roman Empire. Same debauchery, same homosexuality, same filth. It just cycles around over and over again. And the generation that didn't live through it is new to them. They're saying that bell bottoms are coming back. High-waisted pants, bell bottoms, and stacked shoes are coming back. So we're going back to the 60s. And everybody, we moved, this is something new. Y'all seen the latest style? Man, that junk was out 25, 30 years ago, man. Go back to Parliament Funkadelic. Come on, man. It's the same garbage repackaged over and over again. The devil doesn't have anything new in his repertoire. He always does the same stuff, and he just recycles it, and he repackages it to the generation that's not aware of it. That's why you're not put off by the garbage. It's the same old trash. You had homosexuals around back in the 70s. They were undercover. But you knew some. But what happened? The devil just kept on matriculating through time till he could get people to buy into it, and it became the status quo. He conditioned the thinking of these young people through this public school system and interactions through music and media presentations until he normalized homosexuality in them. I don't see anything wrong with it. One of my best friends in school is a lesbian. She don't bother me, but she all right with me because, you know, that's her thing. She go with a girl in the sixth grade, but all us just hang together. Now we got a generation of young people that hang in packs and groups. They have no individual identity. They just hang with the crowd. You can't. It's hard to find a rugged individual in this group. They just hang with the group. They swap off sexual partners like just old rampant, nasty participants in orgies almost. They're just nasty people. They have no couples. They have no real identity with another person. They just hang in a group. That's the worst case scenario. When you got a herd, you hang with them with no identity yourself. You should always keep your individuality and your identity about you. Church is not for you to become a part of a collective corporate identity. You're an individual that can interact with the corporate body, but you're still you. That takes a supernatural action of God to keep you able to be you and interact with the corporate group. You know, everybody's going bowling. Well, I'm kind of tired. I'm going home to go sleep. Well, we'll see you later. You're not going to go bowling? Well, everybody going bowling. Why are you not going to go? And you finally end up going because you were made to feel part of the collective group. You don't have to do everything everybody else does. I didn't see you at church. There ain't no regimentation to be at church. You might be down here on Broad Street casting out devils, freely receiving, freely giving, setting people free and healing people. But I didn't see you in church like I got to know you in church. You see how crazy it is? You got to get your own identity in this. And when you come to church, you come Amen. If you never come to church, you don't come. Amen. Nobody's into you. That's hard for some people to swallow because I'm trying to join. I want a membership card and everything. Give me a membership card, and I want my discount coupons, and I want to be a member on the roll. The church roll ain't going to get you. He ain't going to read no church roll when he read that that Lamb's Book of Life. It won't be your denominational church roll. Well, I see you're a member of New Macedonia Baptist on the corner of Elm and 2nd Street. Come on in, my child. There ain't going to be that. If you don't know you, you can't come in. It's going to be scary for a lot of people. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 18. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he takes under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. We're talking about the gift of God. God gives you power to establish his covenant and to get wealth. That's a gift of God. If you're healthy enough to get up every day and work, and you see the fruits of your labor, that's a gift of God. That's why it says laziness will lead you to poverty. If you're healthy enough to get up every day, get up and get on with living. Then you complain about what you don't have. You're lazy. How much did you put into your life to produce a standard in your life that you can have the wealth and the things you need to live? Or were you smoking dope, hanging around in the street, hanging around in class, not doing your work in high school and in college? I mean, you are the sum total of what you put into your life. That's a fact. God gives you a mind and a brain to think with it. The Bible says he even gives you witty inventions. But will you go through the mechanism necessary to bring your witty invention from the spirit into the natural? You got to go through a process. You got to make yourself marketable in the world if you want to have finances. Who in the devil wants to work 52 weeks a year and never take a vacation? That would be crazy. Nobody wants to sit around just laboring all day, all night, never take a vacation. The ministry, we used to take people on trips in the summertime, go down to the Caribbean or somewhere, because people sitting here had never flown on the plane, never gone out of Atlanta, never seen anything, just living this burned down life of working day to day, week to week, never expanding their minds to do anything. So we tried to introduce them to experiences outside of this burned down Egyptian slavery they lived in. You got to expand your mind. Burdened down, living under suppression and oppression that the devil put on you, when the Bible says these things, the labor of your hands and the wealth you get from labor, are the gifts of God. You should be able to take a vacation. Go down to the Caribbean. Go down to the Atlantis and the Bahamas. Go down the water slide and dive off into the water. You know what I'm saying? 52 weeks a year, nose to the grindstone, never taking a break. That's hard, man. Hey, I didn't get into this for Pharaoh to tell me to make more bricks. Okay, he could have left me in Egypt, but that's a blessing. Just to have us making more bricks, God, that's a blessing. We laboring. No, he wants you to be set free. And the chains in your mind to be broken so you can live. God is alive. He wants other people to live. It's bad when you get bogged down with limited thinking people. And they're putting on you all their limitations. Telling you what you can't do, what you'll never be. Notice how they argue with you back and forth about you advancing in life. You got to break all ties with those people. Because they're putting their limitations on you. Their limited thinking is being transferred to you. Worst thing that ever happened to black people in America was welfare. Yeah. Food stamps and Section 8. You know what it'll do? Through generations, it will teach you to be what? Dependent on somebody else. But guess what? You got to accept what they give you as your standard of living. I was behind a girl checking out in the grocery store. She had the audacity on food stamps to get some Honey Nut Cheerios. She got to the checkout stand. You know what the lady told her? You got to get plain Cheerios with that, with those food stamps. You can't get Honey Nut. And I'm thinking like, some Honey Nut Cheerios, man? They will tell you what you can have, where you can live, what you can do. That's how you got the black man out the house. If he's living here, you can't get whatever we're giving you. This is institutionalized slavery to keep black people incapacitated. That's what the elections want to do. You saw Trump at least went into a black church and said, you know what we need here in the black community? We need the industries that have gone overseas to be brought back to America to provide jobs for the black people so you'll have an economic base to operate under. You see how Ford just moved all of their small car operations to Mexico? Every one of them. That's because of the tax burden on the corporation that was done on purpose. You bring all the industrial base back to America from the foreign shores they went to, and the folks would have enough economic ability to survive based on the production here in this country. You better understand this. Consumers never have anything. Producers have things. If black people don't go into the marketplace as producers, there's no need for you. What's going to happen? We become a service-based economy, which means you work at McDonald's, you work at a hotel cleaning rooms, or you shining shoes over at the bus station. You'll never get paid for service-based stuff, man. It's not necessary because anybody can do it. If you're doing what a third-grade dropout can do, why pay you $15, $20 an hour to do it? And a person will accept $7 to do it. You know who makes money in this world? Problem solvers. You don't use a lot of physical effort. You use what? Your mind. I solve problems. Managers and directors and people in charge solve problems. And people know when you're a problem solver, you know why they know it? They can bring the problem to you. If Jerry is an IT specialist and I got a glitch in my computer, hey man, my computer messed up. Something wrong? He said, yeah, man, I see the problem. Boom, boom, boom. I feel there. Thanks, Jerry. He said, oh, yes, $500. Oh, yeah, by the way, that'll be $500. I was dealing with a lawyer the other day. He said, man, I can do this for you, 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 this for you. This for you. And no problem. I handle that. I'll do all the corporation stuff. I get the tax ID number. I do this and the other. I do this and the other. And of course, my fee is $285 an hour. What's making them able to do that? That law degree on that wall right there. What are you paying for? His knowledge. You're paying for his mind. You don't believe it? Try to drop a transmission in your own car. I think if you be having like, it'll be like Fred Flintstone starting the car, you'd be moving your feet real fast and try to zoom them off in it because it won't run because that mess you put in backwards ain't powering the car. Now, Fred Flintstone, I joke, be kicking real fast and the car, and the joke will ride 5,000 miles. Just, how do they do that? Miss feet just boom in the car. No engine, it just run off foot power. That's amazing. I wonder how that car did that. That's amazing. But see, that's what we got now. You have to make an investment in your future and sacrifice now for then. Those who didn't invest in their futures in high school and college are now paying the price for not investing in their future, and they're mad at everybody. Where you headed? Well, I'm going to fly out to Seattle for the weekend. The Falcons playing in Seattle. I'm going to get on the plane Friday and fly out on Friday and make it a weekend. Took off Monday. So I'm going to swing through Seattle for the weekend. Look at the game on Sunday. spend overnight, swing back down, probably down to San Diego, go to the beach, and then head. And I might get back in Wednesday or Thursday. I ain't made up my mind yet. I'm going to check it out once I get to how I feel. And you sitting there just locked up. Can't go anywhere, chained up and mad at everybody. Invest in your future. I was talking to a person in a high school teacher the other day, saying, man, look, see that guy right there? We let him play basketball all day because he don't want to go to class. So they just let him have a continual PE schedule. He come and play basketball all day in school, just shooting hoops. Then you see him walking through the hall. I said, why are you in the hall like this? He don't want to come to class. Well, why didn't them come to school? We're Title I. Everybody in the school brings in money from the federal government. So we got to find something for him to do. Let him walk the hallways. He just disrupt the classes anyway. He's a body in the school we get paid for. Amen. I said, well, what's going to happen to him? He in the 10th grade. He said, well, he'll go to the 11th next year. No child left behind. Common core. Well, what about the 12th grade? We'll graduate him. What's going to happen to him? He'll be in jail by the time he's 20. He'll be in jail, probably 20-year sentence. Because we got to make the chemicals in the jail, and we got to make the license plates, and we're making furniture now. When the jail is an industry, free label. They turned him out of high school, can't read, can't write his own name, can't spell, can't articulate anything, can't fill out an application because he can't write nor read with a 12th grade education. You thought your kid made it through high school? Take him to college and they got to take all remedial math, remedial spelling, remedial English to try to get them up to at least an 8th grade level of reading and understanding. People read and write at a 3rd grade level getting out of high school. And want to be something. You say, ask those young boys what I want to be. You know what the first thing they say? A rapper. A rapper. I said, man, are you serious? You think they're going to let all of y'all be rappers? They need consumers for the rapping. Why would they let you be a rapper when the rapper's got to sell the junk to somebody? There's guys out there that can out-rap Lil Wayne and Jay-Z. But hey, they just chose them to market them. It's just like you walk in the room and say, you, and you, we're going to make you something, come on. And use you, pimp you, to control the rest of them. Then they think they're a brilliant lyricist or a brilliant deep rapper. They're just using them, they're pimping them. If Jay-Z makes $800 million, the person controlling him made $20 billion. But to the person looking up to Jay-Z, he's somebody. But you don't see the guy puppeteering him that's really making the real money. See, folks, they reward you if they can channel money through you to the people that's puppeteering you. That's why you get rewarded. Oprah is rewarded because the people over her is making the real money. And they drop off $1 billion to her. That's pocket change to these boys. When you got trillions of dollars at your disposal, $1 billion is joke money. So you see now, this is what we're in. We're in a make-believe paradigm, what I call a matrix. None of it is real. So the best you can do in the matrix is this. You go and get your education. Don't buy into any of that garbage in the educational institutions. You just find out, what do I need to do to get this lambskin? So you write these stupid term papers, you know, using what they got, MLA, or with all the different ways you write them, you know, all the different ways you write a term paper. Find out how you got to do it, how you set it up, how to do all the different references and all the stuff they want. Set your stuff up right. Do your margins right, like they told you to. Hand that junk in and get an A. That's all you wanted from the history class. After you threw that class, you don't even remember the dates and all those. I don't know what Constantine did, and I don't know. I just got the A. Then you move on to whatever's next, you know, humanities or English or whatever. All you're trying to do is get out of there with that piece of paper they said you need to get. Probably 70% of that stuff you'll never see or use again in life. But what does it prove to the employer? You're trainable. It's all that's proven that when you come here, since you had the discipline to make it through school, When we train you to do our particular job, we know you're trainable because you've shown the discipline necessary in school to pay attention and focus to get the data and regurgitate it. That's all we want you to do. So they have paradigms set up that are actually focused on their particular way of doing it. They'll tell you when you come here, you do it the Walmart way. You do it the enterprise car way. You do it the AT&T way. And you say, I got this piece of paper from this college to say, I'll do it your way. Don't come in trying to reinvent the wheel. You find out what they want. Do it. And now you're assistant manager over production, making $83,000 a year, and nobody even knows you got the money, and you're jetting off to San Juan, Puerto Rico in the morning. That's how you got to play the system. Don't let the system use you. Use the system. I tell young guys coming out of high school, nothing else to do, go to the military. Use the military to get your education. You want to stay in there for 20 years? Don't stay in as an enlisted person. Get your education. Go to OTS, Officer Training School. As a captain in the Army, you'll be making $65,000 a year. You retire as a lieutenant colonel at 39 years old, pulling down $5,000 a month in retirement at 39 years old. Then you go and get yourself another job out here, and you'll be making six figures, $5,000 a year coming from the military and whatever you're doing now, $60,000 of your income coming automatically from retirement, and you're 39 years old. You played the game. You played by the rules. It's Monopoly, and I got a lot of property on Park Place. What? Forrest Gump could see this. What Forrest Gump used to always say? And that's, I guess that's all it is to that, or whatever he used to say. I guess that's it. Forrest Gump could see this. It's a temporary world. You're just here for a minute. The Bible says your life is a vapor. It's better off to spend your vaporous life on the beaches of Cancun than somewhere laboring in a field like a Hebrew slave. You see what I'm saying? Jet off, man. Jet somewhere. Get in a jet and just fly around in it or something. Be going somewhere other than this locked up, chained up life that's based on you having a locked up, chained up mind. What I'm saying is some people are so far-fetched, they can't even process what I'm saying. But think about it. The government giving me food stamps, Section 8 housing, and welfare. And this is my lot in life. I live in a 3-block area, and I'm offended by you telling me I can break out of this slave camp. That's why they didn't like Moses. That's why he said, let's go back to Egypt. You have the audacity to set us free. That's why people don't like the real gospel, because it sets you free. And I'm looking to be dependent. I'm looking for a master called the pastor to sit up in some institutionalized, messed up religious mess and just sit up under this master, because under him or her, I'm not responsible, neither am I accountable. If anything happens, I can now point to them as the person that did it. But guess what? Only to the victor belongs the spoils. Don't look for a blessing if you didn't personally pay the price to get it. You're not going to be partaking in anything that you didn't pay a personal price to get. Nobody gives out a car to you. Nobody's giving away houses, a wardrobe. You got your weave laid out, but then nobody give you that. We had to buy that hair. I'm jealous of her weave. Well, she bought that weave. Mom just said, that's your hair? Yeah, it's my hair. I bought it. Yeah, it's mine. Every strand of it is mine. I bought it right down at the store, the beauty store. Everything is like that. But see, the gift of God is given. That's why it's not valued. People look at the gift of God and say, since it's not giving me temporary pleasure, it's of no value to me in the here and now. I can't use it for me. It's not advancing me. I'm not in the limelight. It has no value. He says the labor and the wake up every day and set your mind to do something, to accomplish something, is a gift. It's the gift of God, according to Ecclesiastes. If you're an able-bodied young person, when you're in your 20s, why not invest in your 30s and 40s? Okay, I'm sitting where I am. Let me make a move. Let me get into a trade school. Let me go to college. Let me do something to enhance my future, so I won't be sitting here at 35 in the same state I'm in now. Look at where you are now and make a logical, well-thought-out plan to be where you want to go in 10 years. So I know if I invest now, if I sacrifice now, it might be hard on me now, but 10 years down the road, I'll reap the benefits of what I sold now. So from 18 to 22, 23 is a window. It's going to show up at 27, 28, and 30, what you did when you were 18 through 22. Friends will be making $75,000, $90,000 a year in a career, and you somewhere flipping burgers at Burger King for $7.85 an hour. You didn't put in the investment. Don't begrudge another person for the return they got back from a sacrifice. Why am I angry at you? Because you burned that midnight oil. You paid the price. You wrote Mr. Johnson's term papers, burning that midnight oil. You begin to use your mind, so your mind began to clear. Did you not know if you begin to use your brain cells, your mind will begin to clear from the debris in your mind because you're focusing on something else? I can't focus on a chemistry exam with Lil Wayne playing. You see what I'm saying? It will make your mind focus on something that's going to advance you as opposed to something that's going to be detrimental to you. Lil Wayne is making you progressively more ignorant and dumbing you down. And so in 5 years, all you got playing in your mind is Lil Wayne. If you focused in on chemistry and biology and things of that nature, then you got some basis for conversation now. You got the ability to articulate, because all by itself it will recalculate and reevaluate and reprogram your mind to think at a higher level, a more intellectual level. Your thoughts will begin to expand and it will begin to ascend because you meditated on things that were at a higher level of thought. Lil Wayne, Jay-Z, and all these ignorant rappers are for arrested, dumbed down people who can't think. So you put nursery rhymes to beats for them. And they walk down the street, you see the hand move with earphones on this.
Yeah. 99 problems, and I hope they want them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sipping syrup, dragon liquor, gin and juice. Just crazy. That's the sum total of your mind. Your academic and mental acumen has been lowered to the dumbed down level of a moron. Because you ingested moronic data, and now you're a reflection of the filth you poured in. Garbage in, you get garbage out. And you're challenged by God to come up higher. Everything in God is always come up higher. Come up higher, man. Appreciate the gift of God. Look at John chapter 4. And we'll see a woman that interacted with the gift of God. Look at this dialogue here in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 1, we're talking about the gift of God. Man, he's given a gift, and people don't even appreciate it. John 4, 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Jesus didn't baptize in water. His disciples baptized in water because Jesus baptized in the Holy Ghost. We baptize in water. Jesus baptized in the Holy Ghost. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. How did he know that? Because the Holy Ghost told him to go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar,
near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, Jesus could get tired. He was a man walking around. He was tired from all that walking. Don't make him some kind of Superman. He was just a guy full of the Holy Ghost. Sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Now, you know, the Samarians were like half-breed Jews that were disenfranchised and ostracized because they were not full-blooded Jews. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the what? If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Living water. I'll get back to what that is in a minute. The woman saith unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? He says, you got nothing to get into the well with, and the well runs deep. Where are you going to get living water from? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into what? Everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now look at this. Look at this interaction. I want this water. I'll never thirst again. A well springing up in me that I'll never be thirsty. Give me the water. She's thinking in terms of never being thirsty again. Look what Jesus says. Now this has nothing to do with anything. Jesus says unto her, go call thy husband and come here. What's he dealing with? The barriers to the living water. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. Now at that point, that's when you come to light. I just want some water. You don't have to break all that down on me. I just want some water. You tell me all this. Oh, that don't have nothing to do with the water. Now, I just want some water from the well. You talking about my husband and all that. Why is this? I can't even make the connections here. See, folks, man, are just like this. They want God to do all this stuff while they're all out of order and messed up and discombobulated. See, there are sins you commit that are real that you put on the back burner of life. For instance, there are people in church married in adultery for real. They weren't authorized to divorce anybody by God. They divorced and remarried, they're in adultery. That's real. There are some people that the Holy Ghost said, leave them alone, sell with the divorce, and he set them free from it. You can't make the call looking at them. But there are people sitting in church that God knows about that are in adultery. Just trade in husbands and wives like used cars, you know. Irreconcilable differences. They don't work. They don't work in God. Don't work. People, and then you got these legalistic people saying, if you have divorced someone and you remarried, you're an adulterer. No matter what the cause, you are an adulterer. Now the guy was beating you. The guy was beating your kids, you done lost one eye from the beatings, and God told you get away from there because he's going to kill you, and some fool telling you go back to it. That's why you got to go vertical and hear from God yourself. People ask me what to do about those situations. I tell them, I don't know. I'm not in it. And people accuse me of being a person that is teaching adultery because I don't step into God's business. Something the Holy Ghost got to govern and direct you through.
Some things a human has no answer for. But in the same breath, I got to tell you, some people are sitting in church in adultery. That's a fact, Jack. If you think you're trading in folk in marriage and divorce like used cars been trading in, that ain't Bible. That's balanced, and that's true, what I just said. So it said you had how many husbands? And you got one now, and that's not your husband. You got to have six dudes. Six dudes? No. In other words, what are you doing?
Well, you want to tell him.
The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now we can jump religious. What's he trying to do? Make him self-conscious. Like he's some great one. Now, yes, daughter, I'd have you know I am a prophet. Yes. Yes, I've been called as a prophet of God. I'm glad you can recognize that, my daughter. That's what that kind of stupid jump.